Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We're on episode number 214, and this is the second part of the second coaching session with Melissa. We agreed to work together for 6 weeks, and we have broken up the coaching sessions into two parts, so it's just easier for you to listen to as a listener. As always, let me know you're here. What are your thoughts? If you have any words of encouragement or advice to Melissa, send them my way, and I will forward them along to her. Many of you related to her sharing her authentic self, and in those first few episodes, so episodes 211 and 212, when we get to know Melissa, some of the things that she shared resonated with you. I'm not going to share her diagnoses with you right now. That's up to her to share, and she has done so in that 211 and 212 episode. But for today, we are going to talk about what Melissa really wants to accomplish by the end of these coaching sessions. She wants to write her life story. And so today, that is the second part of the second session. That's what we dive into. So here's Melissa. The biggest elephant that you want to talk about and try and figure out is mapping out the book and different things. So I wanted to really sort of talk through what your main goals were. And if so, we're halfway through the year. Is your hope that by the end of this year, something's done, or sooner, or what are you looking towards, and how can I help map that out for you in a way that feels doable and not scary?
Well, there's so much, and I have great friends, but they're not always helpful in this particular scenario. I am trying to decide what the focus of this is, because again, I'm writing this mostly to entertain myself, and it is kind of a love letter to me, to younger me, and to all the people that stood by me during rough times, because I definitely had them. And there are so many different directions I could go with this. I'm a survivor of teenage dating violence. And I'm glad that there's a separate term for that, because when you're a teenager and you're being physically abused by a boyfriend, and you're looking at articles and news, you know, news stories about domestic violence, and that doesn't quite seem to parallel with what's happening to you, but also what's happening is not okay. So there's that angle. Although I always promised myself, if I ever became a published author, it would not be based on anything that he and I experienced, the ex-boyfriend, because I don't want to give him any attention. He had enough of that when I was teen. So do I want to write about that and surviving it? Because that's kind of in alignment with my current job. And I don't know that I do. I really kind of, I think, want to focus on joining the Mormon church as a 20-year-old, trying for 20 years to raise my family within that context, and then realizing in my 40s, I needed to move beyond that context. I think it's not uncoincidental that in my 40s, I learned how to set boundaries and everything kind of changed at the same time.
Yeah. I think so we haven't, since you and I began recording, we haven't talked about religion or the Mormonism. We've spoken off recording about it. What I found interesting about your story is you were not born into this religion. You chose it.
Correct.
And then at some point, unchose it.
Also correct. And I mean, there are a lot of books that write about a lot of pain and a lot of just a lot of turmoil that I didn't experience, because to me, it just feels more like a failed experiment. And so I don't know if that's the story I want to tell, because I, for lack of a better word, I don't want to make light of the trauma that other people have truly experienced, because it wasn't traumatic. It was mostly fish out of water funny. And that's what I would like to write about. It amuses me. As I said, I'm uploading Google, and then I'm kind of using ChatGPT to help me put the story in chronological order, because that's not something I'm great at. And ChatGPT would really like the focus to be that. ChatGPT thinks that's hilarious, and it is. But I don't know that.
Which part? The fish out of water part?
Yes, the fish out of water part.
I'm going to ask you a question. Are you, as an author, responsible for the reader's experience?
I hadn't thought about it that way, but no.
Yeah, because everyone has their own stuff. And you're absolutely right. Some things are triggering. Some things bring up past trauma. And because you're well-educated and well-read and empathetic, you can see things from all of the different sides. But if you, as an author, are merely just telling a story, you're telling a story. Stephen King is not worried about if someone is going to have nightmares for the rest of their life and be traumatized.
That is true. I just read his book about writing books and really, really like that. So
yeah, I didn't know about his health history and the accident. That was fascinating to me.
I remembered the accident. I remembered it being on the news, but I had no idea it was as bad as it was until I read about it in detail. But I did find, in terms, I'm reading a lot of books about writing, and his was one of the best in terms of motivation and actual help. How are you going to set this up?
Mm-hmm. Bird on a Wire. Did you read that one?
Yes. Okay. I like that one a lot. That was one of the first ones I read. I have wanted to do this. Well, I remember talking, I was a library aide in middle school, and I remember the librarian telling me, I think you want to write a book, Melissa. And I couldn't have been older than 14. So I wanted to do this for quite some time.
Yeah. Again, so since you are an editor and do this, I think perhaps you're putting more pressure on yourself than is necessary. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think that's what's caused me to put it off, and I'll start as I'm moving. I find tons of paper from when I was in my early 20s that I started to write things. And it's always kind of the same story. It's again, just a recap of the things I survived and a description mm-hmm. of the adventures I had as I came out on the other side of anything that was particularly dark in my life. The era during high school when I was dating someone that was bad, and then other struggles that I've had. Again, this is where I'm putting too many details in what I want to write, because I have good friends that are like, oh, remember all that dumb stuff we did in our 20s? Make sure you write about that. And I want to, but I don't know how much.
Yeah.
Surviving the relationship and then the dumb stuff we did in our 20s relates to the 20 years I spent trying to fit in as a traditional Latter-day Saint housewife and failing miserably and most of the time hilariously.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to know because I said to one of my friends, I think I'm just going to write about the church stuff because that's got a beginning, middle, and an end. And we're all still living through our adventures and just the disappointment. Oh, but that was so funny. And that was so funny. So it's hard to know. And it was funny. And it did frame a lot of who I was as I went into the church. So I think there's room for it, just maybe not the focus, which I once thought it would be.
Are your friends still in the church?
No, they never were. They
Okay.
no, it like one of the funny moments is when I'm not going to recap it very well, but when I was still in the dating relationship and I was a freshman in college and one of my best closest girlfriends was the youngest of four and pretty scrappy and happened to be over at the duplex we lived in during one of the worst incidents. And she jumped in there and was going to participate. And I'm not telling the story well, it's funnier than that. It's dark, but it's funny. She walked out during an incident of abuse and told the boyfriend at the time to step away. And he said, come over here and I will beat you up too. And she came over and got up in his face and said, try it. And he ran away.
That's pretty awesome.
It is, and the actual details I'm not doing very well, but I write them very well and they're very funny. So I want that in there. But at the same time, doesn't have a whole lot to do with the misadventures of Mormon Melissa, which I think there's a book there.
Yeah. If you just started writing them as a collection of essays and then later figured out how to string them together, would that feel better?
Probably. And they are written. I mean, I mentioned that there are notebooks, there are saved files on every desktop slash laptop I've owned in the late 90s to today, where I write a few of the stories. That one in particular, because it's one of my favorites. We still laugh about it and we forget how dark it is until we tell it to someone else and we're laughing at the end of it and they're looking horrified and scared and we're like, no, we promise it ended well and it's funny now.
Yeah. So since you weren't born into this and it was something you chose when you decided to leave in your 40s, was that a clean break or was it messy?
It was honestly ridiculously clean. It's actually the opening chapter in what I've got sketched out currently. Because it was so easy to decide it. In 2015, I think it was, it might have been 2016, one of those two, it leaked to the general public. It leaked first on the internet and then gained momentum that the church had decided not to baptize the children of same-sex couples. I've always been an advocate for same-sex relationships. I grew up with gunkles before that was a thing. They were Greg and Bill were my grandmother's best friends, and so to me that was just one way to have a family, and it's not something I thought a whole lot about. And when I heard that, I was just furious and upset because the church very much teaches baptism as a saving ordinance. But then to turn around and deny it to children when Jesus was pretty clear about letting the children come unto him, it was a no-brainer to me. And somehow I'm always the second one home from work. My commute used to be longer, but somehow I had beaten my husband home from work that day and I was fixing dinner. And in our current home, the stovetop faces the front door. And the story has a little bit of minor swearing in it. But I was kind of rage fixing dinner as you do. And he walked through the front door and we made eye contact. And he said, did you hear? And I said, yes. And he said, can we be done with this bullshit? And I said, yes. And that was the extent of our conversation. And
That's
we both
awesome.
had church jobs at the time. And so I did email the people to let them know we would not be teaching Sunday school. And I forget what my husband was doing, but that we would not be doing those things. And I was very polite because, again, a lot of people have some bitterness and trauma that is absolutely valid. But to me, it just was like, okay, this is the line that I'm not going to cross. And I'm not mad because I do believe that churches have the right to make their own doctrinal decisions. I think that's part of freedom of religion, but I have the right to no longer participate when it crosses a boundary or a line that I'm not willing to cross. And that was the line.
Yeah. I love that. And I'm so proud of how clear and concise you were with, this is not something I agree with, and I'm not going to just go with the flow and accept it. And and it makes sense to me that this happened in your 40s when you are figuring out really deep down inside who you are without the trappings of your childhood and the beginning throes of early marriage and motherhood, which is so all consuming. And I think it's interesting that it always sort of falls in line with perimenopause and this natural kind of slowing down that people have. And it's interesting that you say that for your 50s, you want to continue to explore your authentic self. But it also sounds like you really do know who you are and what you stand for and what you will not accept. So that's pretty remarkable, Melissa. That's amazing. I'm proud of you.
Now, I spent my 20s and 30s. Do I fit in? How do I fit in? What do I need to change about myself to fit in? And then one day, and it was constant back and forth. I would struggle with this. My husband would watch me struggle with this. Tried to be supportive, didn't quite know how the right way to support me was. And then one day, okay, I'm done. That's it. But that's how I ended that high school into early college relationship too. One day I was just done after a lot of back and forth and a lot of situations I should never have found myself in. So that tends to be the way I finally make decisions. And I'd like that process to speed up a little bit. I'd like to be a little bit, I would like to not go back and forth in the case of the high school relationship for 2 years, whether or not I'm staying, and back and forth about the church for 20 years and whether or not I was staying. I would like to come to those conclusions a little more quickly. And I think learning as much as I have about the ability to set personal boundaries, and I think that will help. And I hope to continue to be able to set these boundaries, but I'd love the process to be, because I don't have 20 and 30 years anymore to go back and forth about things.
Yeah, I think it will naturally get faster because now you are able to recognize that this is your process. And once you know what the process is, you can naturally speed it up. It's tricky when you're still trying to figure out what your process is, but it sounds like you've I kind of liken it to a coiled snake. You're getting ready, you're getting ready, you're getting ready. But when it's time to spring into action and pounce, you actually, from an outside perspective, look like you make a very quick decision. But really you're kind of coiling that spring.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I want to do that a lot more efficiently than I have in the past. So I'd like to see that happen in my 50s.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the layout of the book. Are you in the I'm still shoveling sand into the sandbox part of writing? Or are you in the now I have all this writing and I want to put it into sandcastle?
I'm still shoveling sand because a really helpful thing about having the joke is that ChatGPT is my ghostwriter. But again, very efficient tool for putting my thoughts in order and finding a good chronology for the chapters is as I do this, and then I go back and read through and edit and play with what's been put in the right order, there's more I need to include. There were really lengthy descriptions of the personalities of some of my children and then less descriptive of other of my children. And so there's a lot of going back in and backfilling details. So it's kind of got an outline, but the more I look at the outline and feel good about the outline, the more I realize there are still details and backfilling, if we keep with the sand metaphor, backfilling to be done.
Okay. Okay. And then right now you're getting these sort of brainstorms while you're stuck at a flag ban in traffic kind of thing. And so you're able to record in that way. Does that feel like it counts? Like, oh, I just wrote for 10, 15 minutes? Or does it only feel like it counts if you're actually sitting at your desk?
I feel like it counts. And I kind of wish I had thought of it a long time ago, because I get a lot more done. Again, I'm not writing anymore, but I've always struggled with hand-eye coordination. I think that's part of the neurodivergence. I have terrible, terrible handwriting, and it physically hurts to write for extended periods of time. Typing goes better, but I'm slow at it because, again, hand-eye coordination is not my strong suit. So I really wish I had thought about this. It was in a grant writing book, of all things, a grant writing instruction book. And the author admits that she wrote most of it by recording it and transcribing it and editing it. And I thought, well, I can do that. That's a lot easier than trying to, because I always think faster than I write, which is part of the problem. But I tend to talk fast and notes can keep up with that.
That's wonderful. Good. I'm glad you found something that works for you. And I also am glad that you have relinquished the idea that writing has to look a certain way. So I think everyone sort of has that image of an author sitting in front of, I don't know, an empty desk and a computer or a typewriter looking out at a beautiful beach view and all of that kind of silliness, when in real life, it's scraps of paper and brainstorms and ideas and talking into your phone. So I like that. I'm thrilled. Yeah. Okay. What, for this next week, what do you really want to make sure happens, and how can I support you?
So as I said, we're getting the heavy furniture over there before the weekend. So what we hope is that by next Monday, we will have pivoted to living in the new house and just still continuing to work through and declutter in the old house.
Is the old house for sale?
It will be once we are finished with it.
Okay. And so there's no time frame, like you have to get out by the 30th or anything like that?
No, there is and there isn't. There's no time frame in terms of what our realtor wants us to do, because he knows we own the house. I would like to close the chapter on it, if we're talking in book metaphors. I would like to step away and see it listed. Because as I said, I go back and forth for a ridiculous amount of time when I make a decision. But once I've made it, I really like to shut the door on it. It's emotional to step away from a home where I raised my five kids and spent most of their childhoods. It feels like a very right decision. I love the new house. And now that I have decided to move on and go into the new house, I want to be fully living in the new house.
Yeah.
So next week looks like I don't think we can possibly have it listed by the end of next week. That's an unrealistic expectation, but I would like to be fully unpacking and setting up the new home and finished with what needs to get done here.
I know three of the four kids have moved out and are adults. Are they close enough that all six of you can kind of be back in the empty house and have a closing ceremony together?
Yes. And my oldest daughter will be back home before the end of the summer, because she's a teacher and they'd like to see her come back. But so she'll be back. And again, some of them would really like to be in here now, mm-hmm. but sorting through this feels very personal to me and personal to my husband. And I say this as if we were hoarders and there's mountains and mountains of clutter. It's not so much that, it's that we raised five kids in this house and there's just...
Oh, five, sorry, seven. I got the math wrong.
Oh, all good. No, there's a lot that comes with that. And I want to do my part by myself before I bring them in, because my 21-year-old actually enjoys it as a hobby to go in and help people declutter their homes. She's been doing it in our extended family all summer long. She can't wait to get in here. But she's much faster with her decision-making process than I am, which I love about her and I'm a little in awe of, but I need to go through my process before I can let her come in here and start her process.
Okay. The idea, it sounds like a wake or a funeral for a house, and that's not really what it is. So I like the term closing ceremony a little better. And it can be as hokey, like you can be in an empty house and sit in a circle and each take turns sharing memories and that kind of stuff. But having a bit of closure for such a big, momentous part of their childhood and your life so far might not be necessary for all of you, but for some of you, it might be great. And then later, when they're your age and stage and they're looking back on their 20s and 30s, they have that nice memory of full closure. Just something to think about. Yeah.
No, I want to honor that for them, because my husband and I definitely ready to move on. And it's our decision. This was a conversation we had a lot with the 16-year-old while we were looking at houses, which we started last November. So this has been a process. You know, this is for Dad and I. This is what Dad and I are going to do now that you all are growing up and leaving the house. That said, they may be in different stages. They may not see it quite in the way that we do. I know some of them are very eager for Dad and I to move back closer into town and be closer to restaurants and doctor's appointments and all the things, all our social activities. They would like the long commute with, again, all the construction that's going on. But not all of them are there. My 15-year-old, well, she's 16, but she kind of surprised me. When we were packing a few weeks ago, suddenly wanting to stop the packing and take pictures of everything so she could remember it. So I know that they are in different places with their thoughts about this. So I definitely want to honor that for them.
Yeah. You're very thoughtful. Yeah. You're a good mom. I don't know how often you're told that you're a good mom, but you are a very good mom, Melissa. And the sentimentality of kids is interesting to me. My oldest is 23, and in her closet on the top shelf, there's an empty like mayonnaise jar. And she wrote in her little kid handwriting, "Air." And then it had the address of the last house. So she ran through the house capturing air and then put the lid on the mayonnaise jar. And I just thought that was like, okay, that's adorable and not something I would have thought of.
Yeah, no, that is.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay. Homework wise, what would feel good? Do you want me to ask you to come up with an idea for the structure of this book? Like, do you want it to read like a novel? Do you want it to read like historical fiction? Like what theme would you choose? Yeah.
I mean, if I were smart, what it should be is an essay collection, but I don't always like those when I read them. If they're telling a particular narrative and then you get to the 10th page and it's a new essay and it might, I read a book like that. It might touch on some details from the other one, but it's gone in a completely different direction. I didn't enjoy reading that. So that's not what I would want to put out. So I think I do want it to read like a novel. I mean, I say like an autobiography, it is. I do have some intention of going in and changing some names and the details of some incidents so that it's not a complete retelling and violation of privacy to some of the people I grew up with. Just because I want to tell my story doesn't mean everybody wants to be in that story. But something like a novel, something that feels like an autobiography.
Okay. So if it's an autobiography, you're then writing as if this has all occurred in the past. Is that the reader's experience?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Would you feel comfortable if that was part of your homework to sort of flesh out if this is in three parts and the overall message is autobiographical? Is that the word? I can spell things sometimes and type them out better than I can say them. And then maybe a very rough idea of different chapter headings or sections. Would that feel like a good homework assignment, or would that feel like, no, I'm not ready for that? That's going to come in 3 weeks from now.
No, I think that would feel good. I've been playing with this. I mean, maybe not quite since I was 14. That's just when I was told maybe I should write a book someday. But I've been playing with this throughout my adult life, different versions. So I think it is time to commit to a structure.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then is there any questions for me or anything you'd want to clarify? And then also please know that you can message me throughout the week at any time. I will write to you. If you want to do a daily email, hey Steph, I was able to record 600 words and it felt really good. Like, that's fine. I will write back to you. And then also I know you're in the Shortcuts to Peace course. So if you want to come join us on Saturday, we'll have you.
That is my plan.
Okay. Will you out yourself or no?
I might. I always think this is going to be the week that I speak up. And then there's always someone else that really has something that they feel like they need to share. And I agree that they need to share it. And so I just kind of pull back a little bit and let them share. But I enjoy the calls.
Yeah. I love it that you're there. Yeah. And if, am I right that you joined a few years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you did the holiday discount,
Dave
got me for Christmas that year.
That's sweet. Good job, Dave. Okay.
So yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving. I told him that at the time. I'm like, and then I can do this for a long time and you know, it'll be a permanent gift. So he was excited for that.
That's very cute. Very sweet. Okay. Well, thank you for doing this. Thank you for being here. I will send you notes and some homework. I do have a call in a little bit, so it might take a few hours. And then we're going to a baseball game today, the whole family. So if you don't hear from me for a few hours, I promise I will still send them to you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I will stop recording, but you can stay on. Okay. Thanks so much for listening and for being here. And thanks for just sharing the love for Melissa, for being so vulnerable and for sharing her story and to help kind of push her forward to share her story with more by writing it all down. And it's just really neat. And many of you have a book inside of you, or the inkling, or the idea. And what I don't want you to do is let too much time pass and all of a sudden you give up on that type of goal. So in episode 75, we meet Ruth. And Ruth used the pandemic, actually the slowdown of the pandemic, to write her first historical fiction book. And so listening to Ruth tell her story and her writing story, if you have a book within you, might really be interesting. I talked about my own publishing journey in episode 109. And that's a good, a great listen. And then also Sandy Cooper has been on the podcast a few times, and Sandy, is a writer, and she's written a few different things. Number 34, I had Sandy on, and she talked about her memoir, Mom, You're Amazing, which is a collection of essays. And then I had her on again, episode 112, and we talked about living your life off of social media, which is tricky if you are a writer and you want people to read your books. So how does she marry the two? And I know Melissa is someone private also and doesn't have a huge social media presence. So I don't want you to dismiss the idea that you can't do something because other stuff, well, I'm not famous and I'm not this and I'm not that. That's just your brain talking to you. You can do anything and everything. The world is at your fingertips, and we are living in a pretty amazing time. Okay, pretty people, as always, consider yourself loved and hugged. I'll be back in your earbuds next week, and I will be with Melissa. Have a good one. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person, and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.